before we jump into the message this morning. Pastor, thank you for inviting me to come. Psalm 126, I believe it is. Well, I'm on Psalm 126. Psalm 126 in your Bible. And God just laid this on my heart here real quickly. We'll read this. Verse number 3. The Bible says here, the Lord hath done. Let's read it together when you get there. Psalm 126 and verse number 3. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. So God has been good to you, and I praise the Lord for that. God's been good to the church here, and I want to congratulate Pastor on your 5-year anniversary. Bless God, and that's been good. And I believe the best is yet to come in this ministry, right? Bless the Lord. Praise the Lord, Pastor. And Pastor and I met, as he mentioned, about 10 years ago. We met in Philadelphia, and he invited me down periodically to preach a teen and young adult conference he had, and through the years, we stayed in touch via text and email, and he would update me on what was going on here at the church. I really felt like I was a part of the church, even though I wasn't around here up in the Northeast, Brother Dave, but I feel like I was a part of the church here, which has been an exciting thing. So I appreciate your faithfulness and friendship through the years. And he mentioned to me this morning, we had spoken on the phone when my mom had passed away. I think your mom passed away the same year. I called him and I asked him, said, how you dealing with that? And he spent, I don't know, 45 minutes with me on the phone just kind of counseling me through some of that. So I really appreciate him being, like you mentioned, just somebody that's true and real and somebody that loves people. So praise the Lord for that, Pastor. So I am from Solid Rock Baptist Church in New Jersey, long way up the road there. And so I serve on staff there teaching in a Bible college. We have a Bible college up at Solid Rock and assisting with new members and church growth. And I've been there for 23 years, been there quite a while. And I'm married to my wife, Takara, or T, as you call her, and we have 5 boys. So they keep me rolling, right? 5 boys. We got a basketball team. So my oldest is Joshua, and he's 11. My youngest is Gabriel. I got married a little bit later, but it's worth it, waiting for the right one, all right? It's worth waiting for the right one. Better get married later on and get the right one. So with church and family, that keeps me busy. That keeps me rolling. So again, I thank you for the opportunity to be here. I was kind of privileged to open up and the Word of God. The music has been wonderful. The accommodations have been great, and the area here is beautiful. The weather here has been tremendous. I mean, yesterday was a little bit cloudy coming in, but today has been beautiful, and I'm looking forward to being here with you this morning. So again, Pastor, congratulations on the milestone here at the church, and praise the Lord for that. And I always appreciate, as I mentioned in Sunday school class, the pioneering spirit, and I thank God for what he's doing in the ministry and in the church here. So I know I'm the only one standing. Well, we got another preacher here in a little bit, but lunch is coming up, I know. So I'm going to think about lunch. I won't be too long here, but I want to give you what God wants us to have this morning. So let's pray and ask God to help us today because we need God's help. Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for the opportunity to be in church here this morning. God, I thank you for what we've had so far. Thank you for how you touched my heart through the music, through the fellowship. And God, everything has been wonderful. Lord, we thank you for being such a great God and a wonderful God. And Lord, we do love you. God, I pray that you'd help me this morning. I pray you'd help give me clarity of thought. I pray that you would bless us today as we open up your word and bless your word and help me to think clearly and get through the message today. And Lord, we do love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to start out here. I'm going to give you a little story, then we'll kind of jump into the message. And as I mentioned in Sunday school class, well, let me start with this. I was out with my wife, and we were out at Chipotle. How many of you in here like Chipotle? Anybody? You have Chipotle down here?
Yes.
Chipotle's down here? Okay. Chipotle's down too? Okay. So we're out at Chipotle, and my wife and I, and I got my little guy with me. We kind of had a date night. So it's good if you're married to take a date night every now and then. So anyhow, we had a date night. So we're out at Chipotle, and I'm there, and I see this guy, this tall, brother, he's there, he's about 6'8", and I'm looking at him, and I'm thinking, I recognize this guy from somewhere. And I tell my wife, I said, I think that's Turquin Mott. I went to school, college, as I mentioned in my Sunday school lesson. I went to school at LaSalle University, and so anyhow, I'm there, and I'm looking at this guy. I said, I think this guy's, his name is Turquin. So anyhow, I went over to him, and I said, I call him Turk for sure. I said, hey, Turk, are you Turquin Mott? So he's like, yeah. So he looks at me, he's like, Chad? So I said, yeah, I haven't seen him in like 20. I was glad at least I was recognizable. I put on some weight. At least he recognized who I was, you know. So I was like, yeah, at least he knew who I was, you know. So he's like, hey. So he said, hey, Chad, how you doing? So the first question he asked me was, how's your dad? I said, man, it's been, and he didn't really ask how I was doing. I said, how you been, man? He said, I've been good. He said, but how's your dad? So I said, my dad's doing good. I said, he's doing all right. I said, well, why you ask about my dad? So he says, well, I remember your dad when he brought you over to college the first day. Now, Turquin grew up in Philadelphia. He played ball for LaSalle University. And he grew up in Philadelphia. He grew up in the hood. And we were talking about that in Sunday school. So he grew up in the hood of Philadelphia. And he said, when I saw you come in with your dad, he's like, it really just struck me. All these years, 20 years later. And it really struck me. He said, I never forgot the fact that you came in with your dad. And he said, I called my friends in the neighborhood. He said, I was talking to my friend. He's like, man, this guy's got a dad. You know, he's like amazing. He's like, this guy's got a dad, man. And he couldn't believe it, you know. So he's telling me, and he's all excited about the fact that I had a dad. And I was thinking about the story, and I was thinking, you know, in our hearts, he's yearning for a relationship. He's yearning for that relationship with a dad that he never had. And I was thinking about in our hearts, do we yearn for a relationship in our hearts with our Heavenly Father? You may not have your physical father here, but hopefully in our hearts we're yearning for that relationship and saying, man, I want to know my dad a little bit. He looked at me and he said, you know what, I want you to tell me about your dad. How's your dad been? And we ought to have people, as my Christian life, do people look at us and they say, hey, they look at me or they look at Pastor, you say, hey, I want to know, you got something different. I want to know about your Heavenly Father. I want to know about your dad. And I want to just kind of give you a thought this morning about being intimate with God, being close to God, getting to know our dad a little bit better. If this church, if we're going to grow as a church and as a people, we're going to have to get to know him just a little bit more. If we can get to know him individually, this church, I believe, will grow more and more and more. And God will begin to bless more than he already has. Turn to your Bible this morning to Philippians. Let's go to Philippians. We're going to look at some scripture this morning. Philippians. We're going to go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. And the Bible says here in verse number 5. 2 and verse number 5. To Ephesians. I'm in Ephesians. I'm sorry. Philippians. This is a new Bible for me. I mentioned that in Sunday school, so I'm kind of learning how to go. They got, the books are different in this Bible. They all, no, they're not different. The books are all the same. I'm just joking. That's a joke. All right. So just trying to find something a little bit different. So he says here in verse number 5, he says, Philippians 2:5, a very familiar scripture. If I want to draw closer to Christ and I want to be more like Christ, it's going to be a determination I need to think like Christ. How many believe that's true? I've got to think like Christ. I want to have the mind of Christ. And he says here, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And I begin to think about, man, I want to be like Christ. And we were talking earlier in Sunday school about praying through the scriptures. Lord, I want to have the mind of Christ. God, please help me to have your mind. God, please help me to think like you think. God, please help me to care about lost people the way you care about lost people. That's important. We ought to be desirous to reach the lost. We ought to be desirous to reach the lost. And we ought to be thinking, God, I want to think like you think. Lord, I want to renew my mind. God, I want to be the type of husband that you want me to be. I want to be the type of church member. I keep spitting up here. I'm sorry. I want to be the type of church member that you want me to be. Okay? And that needs to be our heartbeat to get the mind of Christ. So if we're going to grow, it's important that we take that next step in our growth and becoming more like Christ. How do we do that? We need to get the mind of Christ. We need to pray, God, I want your mind. God, I want to think like you think. That's my heartbeat. I want to think like God thinks. I want to care about people. I want to love people. It's like Pastor Jeter here. He's a lover of people. I want to love people like that. I want to have a heart and compassion for people. You know what? It's so easy, especially up in New Jersey. You're from New York. You know how it is up there, man. You get tired of people, right? You're like, man, I don't want to see anybody. There's so much traffic. There's so much this. There's so much that. You get pretty much tired of people. But we ought to be a lover of people and desires to reach people. So I want to have a desire. I want to have a heartbeat to reach people. The greatest need you and I have is to commune with God on a daily basis of his word. I want you to think about that. The greatest need that you and I have, I'm going somewhere, so stay with me here for a little bit. The greatest need that you and I have is to commune with God every single day. Do we do it every day?
Do I try to, but I don't.
Some days I miss. I'm sure we're all guilty of that, right? But the greatest need I have is to communicate with my Heavenly Father, is to talk with my Heavenly Father. I enjoy, like Turk was telling me, he's like, man, how's your dad? You mentioned my dad has a broken hip, or he had a femur. He tripped, actually, he was taking some stuff in a self-storage place, and he wound up turning, and he tripped over a lip that I had from the step up, and he cracked his femur. So he's in a lot of pain, and my dad's very social. He likes talking to people and kind of being out there a little bit. So for him to be sitting in a wheelchair in a hospital or in a rehab place is just killing him, you know? So, but anyhow, I enjoy spending time with my dad. I went over there before I left. You know, I spent some little bit of time, not Saturday, but Friday, I spent a little bit of time with my dad. I enjoy spending time with my father, okay? And so we need to enjoy spending time with our Heavenly Father, communing with Him every single day. Turn over here to Revelation in your Bible, Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, in verse number 13. And we're going to read down here through verse number 21. And the Bible says here, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Thank God for the Spirit of God. Amen. Thank God for the Holy Spirit of God. Thank God that the Holy Spirit can speak to our hearts. Hopefully God has spoken to your heart this morning through the music. God, through the music of that song, tell you you're talking about God is mighty. That was speaking in my heart. And hopefully you're here today and God speaks to your heart and God gives you what you need. I can't give you anything, but the Holy Spirit of God can help you through His Word as He speaks to us. So I want to be somebody, and I hope that you're somebody. Again, if we're trying to get closer to the Lord and we're trying to grow closer to the Lord, I hope we're somebody that's in tune with the Holy Spirit of God. I hope we're somebody that's being sensitive to God's leading and God's guiding. How many times, okay, unfortunately, have I ignored the Holy Spirit of God? I'm sure all of us in here have done that sometimes. Maybe God says, hey, give this person a track. And you're like, oh, I'm too nervous. I don't want to give this person a track. You know, we should be obeying every impulse of the Holy Spirit of God as God guides us and God directs us and being filled with His Spirit. So God, please help us today to hear the Spirit of God. Every day He wants us to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh, correct? So, Revelation chapter 3. Let me just back, we're in Revelation 3. Let me just, in obeying the Holy Spirit here. And here talking about in verse number 14, here he says, unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. And so here's we're talking here and looking at this Laodicean church age. The Laodicean church age is a lukewarm, kind of carnal kind of church age. And today I'm afraid, okay, we've become more concerned with Facebook. We've become more concerned with Instagram, especially some of the younger generation, okay? We become more concerned with, hey, my Facebook, what's going on? I work in a college. I was talking to Pastor Jeter, and I work in a college. And some of these young people nowadays are so consumed with social media. Social media is killing Christianity.
I'll just put it out there. I'm not trying to be mean. This one. I'm trying to encourage
just to go on for God, all right? But you know what? Social media is killing Christianity. Because I'm seeing it amongst the young people. They're so into the phone. And every ding or everything that goes off on their phone, it's like, oh, I got to grab my phone. I got to get it. You know, and so we're so used to obeying every impulse, okay, of our cell phones than versus obeying every impulse of the Holy Spirit of God as God guides us and God directs us. All right? As God guides us and directs us. So we need to make sure that we're in tune with the Holy Spirit of God. We need to lead less Facebook, okay, prior to this book. And more face in the book, right? We need less Facebook. I'm sorry. We need less Facebook and more face in the book, more face in the Bible. So if our church, if this church is going to grow, we have got to be people that are going to be people of the book. Amen? We're going to have to be people that are going to be people that say, hey, I want to get with God. Hey, I want to have that time I meet with God. All right? So we've got to be people that are hungry for the Word of God. The Laodicean church age was a church that is filled with materialism. They had wealth. They had money. Everything was going well. And Laodicea means people's rights. I believe that's what it means. Laodicea means people's rights. And everything, hey, it's all about me. We're living in a selfish society today where everything, you know what, it's all about me. It's about my rights. It's about my situation. It's about my problems. It's about me. And so it's important that we be in tune with the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God. Let's look here at, 14. So he says, the angel unto the angel of the Lord, Church of Laodiceans, write, these things saith the Amen. The Amen. The Amen here means truth. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Prophecy, okay?
Amen. He is the source of all truth. Jesus Christ is the source of all truth. Thank God we're not living or preaching a false gospel. Thank God we have the truth of the Word of God. Amen. He is all truth. Don't get over the fact that somebody showed you the truth and that you're saved. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. I can't get over today when I was led to the Lord over the phone. Bless the Lord. Thank God. God saved me. Right? That's an awesome thing. Somebody showed me the truth of the Word of God. I was going to Catholic school when I was little. I didn't have the truth, and I learned all about Jesus, but you know what? I didn't know the truth. But thank God someone cared enough for me, cared enough about me to show me the truth of the Word of God. So thank God this morning we have the truth of the Word of God. Don't ever get over that, church. Don't ever get over the fact we have the truth. Amen? I think sometimes we get in the habit of going, I've done it before. We get in the habit, Brother Dave, of going to church, and we just kind of get in the habit of going to church, and it gets routine us. We hear a sermon, we hear a message, and it's like, I'm in, I'm out, I leave, I go to lunch, I go home. I've done it, and it becomes rote, just repetition. I've just done it before. I get up and I sing. I taught a Sunday school class, adult Bible class, for about 12, ever since I got married, and then I just stopped teaching it here recently. It was about 12 years taught adult Bible class. You know what happens after teaching it so many times? You can do it and just kind of do it almost comes rotate. I just go up, I teach my class, whatever. But we need to be begging God for the Holy Spirit of God to help us as we teach, to help us as we sing, because we need God's touch. If God's touch isn't on, it doesn't make a difference. If God's touch is not on the message, it doesn't make a difference. We need the Holy Spirit of God to help us. We need God to help us. So He is the truth, and He is the source of all truth. He's faithful. It says here, the faithful, the faithful, the faithful. Thank God He's been faithful. God has never, ever one time let me down. And I thank God for His faithfulness throughout the year. I'm sure you can attest to that, Pastor Jeter. I thank God for His faithfulness throughout the years. I thank God He's been faithful. Pastor Jeter was talking about my wife, and I've been single for a long time. And I'm thinking, God, man, this is going to how it's going to be for me for the rest of my life. I really want to get married. You know, I want to have kids. And God brought somebody along. And it's an amazing story how God did that, and He brought somebody to me. And I praise the Lord for that, because God's been faithful. If you're faithful to God, He'll be faithful to you. Even when we're not faithful to Him, He's still faithful to us, which is an amazing thing. How many times I've let God down. But I thank God for His faithfulness, and praise the Lord for that. And God's been faithful to you here. And I was talking a little Sunday school, and I was saying, man, it's important that we're faithful to church. And I was, I'm just going to mention briefly here my little Sunday school brief thing I talked about for a moment. I was talking about when I was a new Christian, just kind of getting in, it was 3 to thrive and 4 to soar. I don't know if anybody ever heard that. 3 to thrive and 4 to soar. Anybody? Nobody heard that? Okay. 3 to thrive and 4 to soar. So I wanted to soar. I figured, okay, man, I just don't want to thrive. I want to soar. So 4 to soar was Sunday school, okay? Sunday school, church. I can't remember what they are, man. Sunday school, church. Bible study, right? Wednesday night, Bible study. Thursday night, we have our Bible study. And then Sunday night, right? So I said, man, I want to soar. So I want to soar. I want to get 4 to soar. So I want to get in, and I want to soar on for God. So that's just kind of a little Sunday school plug there or whatever. But in terms of here, we're talking about growth and taking that next step. The church is going to grow. If we're going to grow, I said, man, I said, as a new Christian, I want to be committed to Sunday school class. I want to be committed to going to that next level. And I hope that you are encouraged to do that this morning. And I was talking a little bit about, I love Kobe Bryant. How many Kobe Bryant lovers are here? All right, we got some Kobe Bryant guys. All right, so that's good. So I was talking about Kobe in Sunday school class. And I love Kobe. And I think I'll mention, do I talk about him later? I don't know. But anyhow, I love watching the play. He had that what they call mamba mentality. And that's what I love about that, that killer instinct mentality. And the Bible here talks about studying the Word of God. And we ought to have that same, I'm thinking he has a mamba mentality for something that does not matter one bit. Man, seriously? It doesn't. I mean, I love him, and he's a great player. He's one of my favorite players. Besides Jordan, he's my next favorite player. But you know what I'm thinking? He had that mamba mentality over shooting a basketball that doesn't matter a little bit. We ought to have a mamba mentality for the Word of God. Mamba's for the master, right? We ought to have a mamba mentality for the Word of God, where we are just like, man, I'm intense, man. I want to be just like Kobe was for basketball. I want to be that way with the Scriptures. My little guy right now, he's playing basketball. My 12-year-old Joshua that I mentioned. Or 11. And I mean, he's just excited. He's just eating up basketball. I said, don't love basketball more than you love God. I said, it's fine to play basketball, but don't love basketball more than you love God. So we ought to have that same mamba mentality for God as Kobe did for basketball. So he says here, the true witness, the beginning of creation. You guys read 15 together while I get a drink. All right, thank you. So he says, I know thy works. He says, I know thy works. He says, I know what you're doing. And God knows the works that we do. God knows the works that we do, whether the works be good or whether they be bad. So God knows and he sees what we're doing. And hopefully we're doing some good works. All right. And I believe here this morning, you guys are doing some great work being here in church. And that's awesome. On a Sunday morning, I know, brother, you mentioned you got in late last night. And praise the God that you're here this morning. Okay. So thank God for that. And so we ought to be doing some good works. But yet he's telling the church here that thou were neither cold nor hot. And I would that thou were cold or hot. See then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of thy mouth. Okay? And so God sees what we do, and he says, here, I wish you were either cold or hot. And I was thinking he's saying this because sometimes we deceive ourselves into thinking ourselves we're on fire for God. In reality, we're not. I've been there before. Sometimes we think, man, I'm on fire for God. Man, I'm doing something for God. But reality, the works are cold, you know, and we can deceive ourselves. The Bible says we deceive ourselves. We can do that. It's easy to deceive ourselves. And there's been times even in the ministry where I've been out there doing work and I've been doing it. Honestly, we have a bus ministry at a church. Boy, you can bring kids in. It's not like it used to be. It used to be time you could run out there and kids would just flock to church and come out. It's not like that anymore. But still, you can reach kids. It takes a little work. But there's been times, guys, when I've done that, you'd be in the flesh. You know, you'd be out there in the flesh running, doing that. We need to be in the spirit out there doing those things for God. And we can think, man, we're on fire. We're doing something for God. But in reality, we're not. So he says here in verse number 17, he says, because thou sayest, how many are still with me? All right? Still with me? Good. All right. All right, here we go. All right. So he says, because thou art, where am I at? Verse number 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing. You know what we're saying? Sometimes today in our society, say, you know what? I'm rich. I've increased with goods. I don't need anything. I'm good. I got this. A lot of Christians today, you tell them, you know, hey, you need the Lord, especially, I got this. I'm good. I'm all right. I'm straight. You know what I mean? So that's what you hear sometimes. But he says, you have need, and that's what they begin to think. You have need of nothing because you have money, and you got money in the bank. You got a 401k or whatever. And he says, have need of nothing, and knowest not. You don't even know. You don't even realize it, that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And he says, you think you're okay because you have a nice car. You live in a nice house. You have a good job, and everything is okay between us, and we're good. You know, God desires that we have a closer, deeper relationship with him. And sometimes we may have friendships, a relationship, maybe a relationship with a son or daughter, and you're wanting that relationship. You're wanting that relationship to go to the next level. You're like, man, I just want to, I wish my son or my daughter would contact me. I wish we could talk a little bit better, and I wish the relationship was a little bit closer. And it just never gets to that point. In your heart, you want that. Man, I wish we were closer. You see that a lot of times in families. Or maybe it's a husband and wife, and they have a relationship, and it's just not, you're wanting it, and it's just not what it used to be. Or maybe you have a girl, hope you're not married and have a girlfriend at the same time. That's a whole nother thing. I'm getting that. But that could be some real serious problems. But maybe you have a boyfriend or a girl, and you're wanting that relationship to go to the next level, okay? You're wanting to take that next step in that. But Jesus is the same way. He's saying, hey, I want you to take that next step. The Bible says, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. As you take that step to God, he'll draw and he'll take that step to you. He'll draw close to you. And he wants to draw close to you. So as a church, we're desirous, and I hope that you desire, if we're going to grow as a church and if we're going to grow as individuals, it's important that we develop that intimacy, that next level of closeness with God. So he says here in verse number 19, he says, as many as I love, I rebuke. So thank God that he rebukes us and chastens us. Thank God for that God will chasten us. I do not like chastening, okay? I have to chasten my boys sometimes, and I don't enjoy doing that, but sometimes I have to do that, and I do that because I love them, right? And so that's what God does to us. He chastens us because he loves us. He says, be zealous, therefore, and repent. So we ought to be zealous about changing our ways. We ought to be zealous about turning around from doing wrong and repenting and going towards Christ. So in verse number 20, let's read verse number 20 together. All right. Everybody still with me? Verse number 20. Behold, I stand at the door. Okay. So he says, thank you. He says, church here, and I believe this, you're losing your influence. And why do you think the church today is losing its influence? I believe one of the reasons the church is losing its influence is because we lost our intimacy with God. When you lose your intimacy with God, you lose your intimacy for God. You lose your influence, I'm sorry. You lose your influence for God. When you lose your intimacy with God, you lose your influence for God. And I think really that's what's beginning to happen in the church. The church is losing its intimacy. It's losing its influence with God. Okay, years ago there were the old saints that used to pray and they used to know how to get a hold of God. That generation is dying off now. We need a younger generation that's going to come in and take up that same man. When people that say they pray for me die off, I can feel it. We had some old saints in the church die off, and I knew they was praying for me. They would tell me, hey, I'm praying. Some people tell you I'm praying for you. You know they're praying for you. So these people would say, hey, I'm praying for you. And I could tell when they passed away, it was kind of, I could just feel. I knew it wasn't the same. You know what I mean? So we need some young people that are going to stand up and pray and walk with God. He says here in verse number 20, okay, he says, behold, I stand at the door. Okay, he says, behold, I stand at the door. He says, here I am. Behold, kind of stop. Behold, stop. I stand at the door. I'm out here and I'm standing at the door. He's kind of like, look at me. I'm standing out here at the door. And he says, behold, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will. He doesn't say I may be. I will come to him and I will sup with him. That's a promise. God makes a promise. Hey, if you open the door up, I'll come in and I'll sup with you. I want to spend time with you, right? Jesus can take away your family. You know that? Jesus, if he wants to, he can take my family away like that. Jesus can take me away like that. Jesus can do anything he wants to do. He can make the ocean stop if he wants to. Okay? He can bless you, but the one thing he desires more than anything from you and me that he cannot do. Okay? This is what he wants, but he can't do this. This is the one thing he wants. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I can do a lot of things, but the one thing I can't do is I can't make you love me. He can't do that. He can't make you love him. He says, I can take your life from you. I can do this, but I can't make you love him. And that's the one thing that he desires more than anything. The one thing I can't do, I can't make my kids love me. I can't. But I can do one thing I can do, okay, is I can work at having a relationship with them. That's one thing I did. I was so happy last night. I've Skyped or FaceTime my kids, and they were missing daddy, all right? I know when mommy goes away, mommy doesn't go away that much, but when mommy goes away, they really miss mommy, right? So I was like, yeah, they miss daddy too, man, yeah. So I was excited about that. They miss daddy, you know? The little guy was crying. He missed daddy. I was like, oh, you know, but because sometimes I feel like, oh, they don't care about daddy, you know, whatever. But they do, and I was excited about that. They miss daddy, and I like that because if I can keep the relationship there, I can get to the heart. Okay, the relationship stays there. I can get to the heart. All right. So he says here, the one thing I want from you. Okay, the one thing I want is I want you to love me. Okay, I want you to love me. I'm standing out here, and I want you to let me in, and I'll hear. He says I will come, and I'll sup with you. Okay, and you think about that supper time, and we don't really have supper like we used to have supper. It used to be have supper dinner time. Where everybody got together, the whole family got together, and all. I don't think they do that as much as they used to, because everybody's so busy with so many different things. But you know, supper time is a special time. At our house, we always make sure we have dinner together, and that's a special time because the kids kind of tell you about. They throw food all around the table. Now, that's kind of what it is. But they tell you about the day, okay? Which is an exciting time because they get to communicate with you. Again, we're building that relationship time. We're building that fellowship time. That's that sup time, and that's what Jesus says. He says, "You know what I want to do? I want to come in." And I want to sup with you. I want to spend some time with you. We've got to get back, church, to our intimacy with God. We've got to get back to our closeness with God. We've got to get back to our taking that next. Come here real quick. Come up here. So we've got to get back. It's a little guy here, right? So he's there right there, brother. So the Bible here talks about drawing nigh to God. So as I draw nigh to God, so you're going to take one step. There goes brother. To me. And as I'm taking that next step to him, he's taking that next step. He's going to be God in this picture because he's bigger than me, right? So, hey, we take that next step, all right? And we take that next step. And God says, you know what? I want to develop, and I want to have that intimacy. I want to have that closeness with you, okay? And as a church, that's what we need to work on. All right, thanks, Brother Dave. So as a church, that's what we need to work on. We need to work on developing. Whatever level you're at right now, we need to take it to that next level. Follow me? You say, man, I'm at this level right now. What's the next level for you? Everybody's at different levels. What's the next level for me? What's the next level in our life? We all ought to be taking that next step. I'm trying to move around here. I know it's a little warm and trying to keep you awake here. So the next step, we say, hey, we got to go to that next step. What is that next level? And I'm desirous in my own heart to get to that next level in my Christian. As a church, as you work together to help Pastor Jeter to get to whatever that next level is. It ought to be our desire. But as I become more intimate with God, as I spend more time with God, God will allow me, God will allow us as a church to get to that next level in our Christianity. And I hope that's your desire and I hope that's your heartbeat. When you become and you want to spend that time with Him, right? Your prayer time will not be a laundry list of just prayers. Of just hey, this is just, I just got my laundry list here. I got my whole list of things I'm asking God for. It'll be a time when you just sit down and you fellowship with Him. And it won't be a rush time. It won't be a matter of, hey, you know what? It's just, I'm just praying through this list now. Bless mom and dad. Bless the kids or whatever. It'll be a time when you're just fellowshipping with Him in such a sweet spirit where it's God, please. And you just begin to talk to Him. Not rushed. Not hurried. That's what He wants us to get back to. That's the sweetest times. I was talking about in Sunday school how Jesus, the alone time, how Jesus spent time alone with God. That's the sweetest times you'll ever have is the times you spend just you and God, just talking to Him. Just tell Him how you feel. I was counseling one of the kids in college. I said, just tell God. He's dealing with some things. I said, tell God how you feel. I said, I'm fine with you coming talking to me, but go to Him and tell Him. I can't help you. He's dealing with something right now. I can't help. I don't have the answer. I said, I don't have the answer. You got to go talk to Him. He's got the answer. I don't have it. And I said, just talking to Him will help you. Like I said earlier, I've dealt with some different things in Sunday school. I've dealt with anxiety issues, borderline, depression stuff. You know what happens is I have to go talk to God and say, God, I don't know how to handle this. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do, God. And that's what He wants us to do as a church and as a people. So if we're going to grow, we've got to grow and we've got to develop in our intimacy with God. We've got to get to that next level of wherever your level is. Let's get to that next level. It'll change your prayer time. Your prayer time won't be a ritual. It'll be like talking to your best friend. We're going to look at something here, and then we're going to go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, then I'll be done here. Luke chapter 10, very familiar scripture. And Luke 10. Luke 10 and 42. All right. This is not 10:42. Oh, I'm in Mark, man. Oh, my word. Luke 10. Luke 10:42. Amen. You still with me? Say amen. Amen. All right. And we'll pick it up here in verse number 41. Well, let's look here. Let's look at verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went, he entered into 10:38. He entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. She sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. When's the last time you just sat at Jesus' feet and just listened to his word? Just listen to him. Prayer is not just talking to God. Prayer is God talking to us too as well. Sometimes we think prayer is just us talking to God and telling God. But prayer sometimes, a lot of prayer is just listening, getting quiet. It's so hard to get quiet today. You know this? It's tough to get quiet. We have so much noise going on around us. It's tough just to get quiet and just let God speak to our hearts. You know? So anyhow, he says, sat here at Jesus' feet, but Martha was cumbered about. She was busy. She was doing things. The word cumbered here means to be stressed. She was stressed about. She was doing all these things about much serving. And sometimes we can get cumbered about in the ministry. I have to be careful working on staff. Sometimes I get busy doing good things and forget to spend time with God. Because we're doing the work of God without a walk with God. Then we're working in the flesh. And it's easy to get caught up in that trap. So he says, the much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha. And I think he's not yelling at her, but almost lovingly saying, Martha, Martha, thou art careful. And you're worried and you're troubled about many things. You got a lot of things going on right now. But this one thing is needful. this one thing is needful. Mary had chosen that good part. Don't miss the good part. A lot of times you'd be in a movie. I do not like movies.
I do not like watching any type of
a movie. I don't know. I can't sit that long. My attention span is not that long. But Hallmark movies come out around Christmas time. How many Hallmark people? Any Hallmark movie people? Hallmark. And my wife, every once in a while, I'll sit and I'll watch. You know what my wife likes to watch? My kids watch. I can't remember what it is. She had them watch it, too. Some movie she had them watch. One of these. Not The Wizard of Oz. Some other movie she had them watch. I can't remember. Some, it was a girly movie. So the, I'm sorry, it was a girly movie, right? So anyhow, she had them. They watched it with her. And I can't sit that long and watch a movie. But a lot of times if I sit with my wife, we're watching a Hallmark movie. Hallmark movies all go the same anyhow. But sometimes she'll be like, hey, I don't want you to miss this part, right? She says, don't miss the good part. And Jesus is saying here, Mary had chosen the good part. Don't miss this part. Okay, this is the best part. This one thing is needful. Okay, this one thing is needful. In your Christian life, there's one thing that's needful. Okay, and that's the time you spend with God. That's the time that you spend with the Lord Jesus Christ. This afternoon, church, and I'm done here. I hope that in your heart, you have a desire to go to that next level, whatever that level is. If that church is going to grow, you're going to help your pastor to help the church grow. What is it that next level I need to go to become more intimate with God? I would say all of us could work on that, becoming closer to God in our hearts. And I hope that today that you're encouraged to say, you know what, man, I need to get to that next level. Well, I'm excited about the anniversary. I'm excited, man. I want to go forward. I'm excited for you too, Pastor. I'm like, man, let's go forward. I'm saying let's because I feel like I'm a part of it. I am a part of the group, right? So I'm like, man, let's go forward for God. And I hope that in your heart today you have a to say whatever that level is in my life, maybe it's prayer, maybe it's witnessing, maybe it's soul winning, whatever it is,
to go to that next level. And I mentioned,
and I had talked about Kobe in our Sunday school class. And you think of somebody who has everything. I mean, he's got money, he's got whatever. And if Kobe had never accepted as a savior, and I had a brief chance to meet him. I talk a lot, but I'll tell you guys too. I had a brief chance to meet him because I went to LaSalle University. His dad, Jelly Bean Joe Bryant, was the assistant coach at LaSalle when I was there. And I had a chance to briefly meet Kobe, and nobody probably realized he would be as good as he was as playing as a 17-year-old kid. And I thought about that because it kind of hit home. I'm thinking, man, if he wasn't saved, all the great stuff that he did, you know, he's in hell. And I hope that's not true. I hope that somebody witnessed to him. I hope I get to heaven and he's up there. All right. But we don't know that. And I'm thinking as a church, we need to be more soul conscious. We need to go. And I know down here is a little bit different than it does in New Jersey. You talk down here, everybody says, hey, I'm saved. I guess it may be what you get. I don't know. But I know up in New Jersey, it's like a lot of people aren't saved. And in my heart, and a lot of people now are more open because it just recently happened. I was talking to some people on the plane. They're scared. We're on the plane flying. They don't. And I hope that in our hearts that we're going to go, maybe it's soul winning. We need to go to that next level. Maybe it's prayer. We need to go to that next level. Maybe it's giving, right? We need to go to that next level in our giving. I'm going to talk about giving for a moment. Here, I feel the Holy Spirit want me to stop for a second. I feel like giving. And nobody, you know, I just feel the Lord, hey, maybe it's giving. Maybe it's not always giving of our money. Maybe it's giving of our time. You come in here, brother, and you were helping pastor in the morning, helping getting things ready. Maybe say, you know, I can give a little bit more of my time. I can give a little bit more of my money. But whatever it is next level for us, let's get to that level. Let's develop that intimacy with God. And God will show us what he wants us to do. All right? So let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. God, thank you for your word. And God, I pray that you'd help us. God, I pray you'd help me, God, in my life to get to the next level, whatever that is. And Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be in church today. And Lord, we do love you and praise you in Jesus' name.